We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown.
Hello, everybody.
I told ya.
That still makes me laugh. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the third Angry Dorks podcast.
What up, Dagobah?
Yeah, that's Rich Slayton. Rich Slayton is our master of sounds, phone numbers, and just generally of being awesome. What is that phone number again?
Phone number today is 800-893-9562. 800-893-9562.
Yeah,
62. That's how I do it.
Yeah, if you want to call in and chat with us, we can do that. We got Ed Greer as well.
What's up, guys?
We got our interwebs comment coordinating badass lady nerd, Don Goodson. Say hello.
Hi, beautiful people.
And then we got our awesome guest from Comics and Comics, Tom Frank.
Thank you. Awesome to be here.
Yeah. Woohoo. The first thing we want to actually get talk about is Tom Frank and Comics and Comics. Comics and Comics is, actually, I'd like Tom to do it.
Thing.
Yeah, it is really the most important
thing. Nothing is worth talking about.
Well, especially because we have great shows coming up.
We have a bunch of Comics and Comics shows. Comics and Comics is a show that I started in 2007. And I remember I spoke to Ed Greer about it when it was just an idea. We were standing outside the Ha Ha Cafe.
That shows you how long ago it was.
And I said, hey, I want to do a show with nothing but geek content. All fanboy stand-up, and Ed thought it was a great idea, and we did it in December at Meltdown.
And what do you know?
Going ever since. We've done it at conventions across the country. We did San Diego Comic-Con on the convention floor.
That was really great.
I'm sad I missed out on that.
We did Long Beach. We've done Anime Expo.
Ooh. The Boston Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, this past April, we were at the Boston Comic-Con, and we opened Geek Week, which is a comedy festival in Cambridge, right after the Boston Comic Con, and that's a big festival there. Mm-hmm. And they allowed us to open the festival. Kevin Harrington, great guy, great festival. And we're going to be doing it tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Improv Lab on Melrose.
It's going to be awesome.
Lab's a great room.
It is. It's real small and intimate. It's got a low ceiling, so everybody's laughs actually are heard. Sometimes you're in a giant room and you don't hear shit.
It's a delightful place.
Well, if you want to find all the cool, neat, offbeat shows that are happening now, the Lab's where it's at, really.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Comics and Comics, one of the best things I like about it, personally, I think Ed can agree with me and Tom will agree with me, is it's really nice to have an audience of people who get what you're into.
Yeah, there's no watering down the references.
Yeah, like I do jokes about Dragon Ball Z, and if I do them in regular life, I've got to explain what the fuck Dragon Ball Z is. nobody else can get that. And you can, I mean, Tom actually has a joke about, what is it, number 29 of
which?
Of the Hulk. The Hulk.
Oh, Hulk 223.
223, that's right, 223.
The tattoo of the Incredible Hulk. The joke is just I see a tattoo of recreating the artwork. No, it's Marvel Fanfare 18 by
Marvel
John
Fanfare
Byrne.
18, that's right.
And I reenact the pose, and then I'll say, no, there's a lot of people out there who might think that the artwork of Incredible Hulk 223 is better, but I've always felt that this has superior line work and anatomy, and blah, blah, blah. And then I explain the context in which I saw the tattoo. I say I was at the gym, and I'm in the locker room, and I'm about to go work out, and out of the corner of my eye, this guy gets out of the shower and is going to start getting dressed. And like something doesn't register as being right. I'm like, does that guy have like a big green birthmark on his stomach? And just as he has begun the process of taking off the towel and is about to put on his underwear, I turn and point to him and go, whoa, nice.
Yeah.
Not the best time to appreciate John.
Rich Slayton loves that right away.
That's the best time to appreciate another man.
Okay. When the dick is out.
Hey, I did not say dick first today. I want to make that clear to all our listeners.
I brought it out for you so that you could get it out later.
You brought out the dick.
Yeah.
Tom, so tomorrow, let's tell people about the show.
Okay. Right,
so we don't have to plug it just at the end.
7:30 p.m. at the Improv Lab.
Yep, just $5.
Yep, and it's going to be the three of us, Ron, Ed, myself, And we got Asterios and Sax and Joe Starr is doing the show.
Yep, and Billy Lee Klee.
And Klee is doing the show as well.
Yeah, and that's there are women nerds who are comedians out there, and mm-hmm. it's nice to and get some of them involved.
Yep, happy to have her on the show. And then we're also going to do it on the 14th in Ventura at Hypno Comics, which you did the show last time.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they're a very enthusiastic, very knowledgeable crowd. Yeah. George Chase, a great guy. He runs the store, but he also publishes his own comic book that he writes called Comic Book Junkie.
Yeah, look that shit up. I actually enjoyed it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I have the first issue and it's signed.
Yeah, we got it signed. And if it gets big, then we're going to make some money. I'm selling that shit, George. You're listening. I am selling that. I need some money.
And George, you guys are so cool. You must all get so much pussy.
Well, let me just finish. We're doing that the 14th, and that's kind of a tune-up show for us. We're going to be performing at Kamikaze, which is the 15th and 16th of this month at the LA Convention Center.
Yeah, and we're performing on just the 15th?
Just the 15th at 3 p.m.
Where is it?
It's at the LA Convention Center.
No, I know that, but I mean, where are we performing?
The room assignment, things are crazy there. They do have a room assignment, but it is probably not wise for me to give out the room because things are going to be changing.
So it might change.
Yes, it might change, but we're going to be there all day, and the plan is to hand out flyers.
That is my plan.
The Kamikaze staff there is going to be very, the programming schedule is going to be readily available.
That's awesome. Day.
So go to Kamikaze. It's a great convention. I would say the big advantage with Kamikaze, the big selling point for me is just it's $20 a day, $30 for 2 days.
Yep.
Kids under 12 get in free.
Because how much is it now if you want to go to Comic-Cons like San Diego? It's like $140, $150 for 2 days.
Yes.
It's not even counting if you want to go
You have to give up your firstborn and they have to be in costume too.
Yeah.
That's how you get into
Your
Comic-Con.
Kid has to be cosplaying as an Ewok or you're fucked.
Important Ed drawing update today. Ed is not inking, but he is working on a pencil of a new Wolverine picture.
Nice.
So no inking yet. Just so you guys are up to date on what he's doing.
And also Frank is drawing some stuff as well. So we've got two people drawing.
I just want to make sure our listeners know the experience live.
Yeah.
Includes you
can watch on Ustream. We're right there. I'm pointing at you right now.
Yeah, actually, Rafi, would you mind grabbing this and showing our Ustream viewers the picture Ed's working on, despite the fact he'll be pissed off and I'm making you guys look at this.
It's actually pretty sexy.
It's a good drawing. I just want to make sure.
Talented artist.
There you go, Ustream viewers. That's Ed's Wolverine. Enjoy.
Ed also has a huge dick.
Take my dick and put it up next to the Ustream.
Exactly.
Just reel it out like a fire hose.
This is our Israeli Rafi. He's our forced intern for the day.
We got a comment? No comments yet? Assholes, not
the comment is that Wolverine drawing is awesome.
Oh yeah, today we don't have a specific episode group for the day, so just go to the Angry Dorks page to comment.
Yeah,
and tell us whatever you feel like yelling at us.
Here,
sounds good to me.
Put this on.
Oh wow,
that's super cool.
Is that
a Tom Frank drawing?
Are those titty rockets?
Yes.
Israeli intern, show the picture.
Those are specific missiles from a toy line in the 70s that I'm a big collector of.
Oh, nice.
The Jumbo Machinders.
They also look like titties.
Yes, that's part of the point.
Titty missiles, check them and see.
What are these missiles from specifically?
There was a toy line in the 70s called Shogun Warriors, mm-hmm. and they were based on a Japanese toy line called Jumbo Machinders, and I am one of the biggest collectors of that toy line in the world, and I... Wow. Yes. There was one that I was looking for 13 years. I went to Japan to try and find it 7 times.
See,
and it
Tom Frank out-nerds us all.
Why can't you just masturbate like the rest of us?
Did that actually come through?
We're a little low today. All right, let's give him a second one.
Why can't you just masturbate like the rest of us?
So, let's go ahead and start talking about that. One of the topics I want to talk about is this myth that goes around. People use it all the time. I've actually had arguments where people are like, well, if you get laid, you can't be a nerd. Or nerds don't get laid. That's the basic idea behind that, which irritates me. I mean, this is one of my jokes, but it's totally true. It's like, where did they think all the smart people come from?
That's
like,
true.
Two dumb people fucking? It's not likely to happen. But at the same time, is that a decent argument to be made? Like,
Well, is the argument sort of devalued as the term geek and nerd and dork are devalued?
Yeah.
I know some of the other episodes from the show are like, what is a geek?
Yeah, exactly.
Is the criteria less than it used to be. And if it is, then if the standard is lower and more quote unquote geeks are getting laid, is that meaningful or not?
You know? Does that change it? Does that mean that you've stopped being a nerd, even though you've...
Yes, if Rocco Siffredi watches two episodes of Star Trek, all of a sudden he's allowed to be a nerd. We know he's getting laid.
Yeah, exactly.
What does that mean? You know, that hardly illustrates the point.
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, that's why when I was on Attack of the Show, I was very upset at everyone who came after me because I was really on there showing off how nerdy I have been since I was a little kid. And every girl after was like, wait, me too. I'm a nerd. And they weren't really. They were well coached. They were very well coached. And that's fine, but that's not real, you know?
I think there should be like a geek SAT test.
Yeah. My dad is a NASA engineer, you guys. Like, that's it. Like,
if you're a NASA engineer, you might not be able to tell a sand person from a Jawa. That doesn't necessarily mean...
No, it's genuinely nerdy household.
You probably can.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing that I'm really against in this regard is this notion that everybody's smart is necessarily a geek.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there are very intelligent... There are rocket scientists who cannot tell you the difference between a Jawa and any other damn thing because they're too busy building the real shit to go to the moon and Mars and whatnot.
Actually building an X-Wing fighter?
Right. You know what I mean? And also, it's this weird thing of... It's just like me being a so-called black nerd. One thing I run into over and over again is this retarded notion that assimilation is intelligence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, because I've assimilated into this culture and I know some of these references, that makes me smart. No, I am intelligent completely separate from knowing what the fuck an X-Wing is. If I did not know what an X-Wing was, I would still be quite intelligent. My vocabulary would still be quite expansive. So it's not as though I'm assimilating into this so-called just milky Lord of the Rings bullshit culture makes me intelligent.
I think
they're separate.
Geeks have, you know, to use some Dungeons and Dragons references, probably higher intelligence than they do wisdom. In terms of genuine geeks, like would be able to tell you, you know, the calculus and, you know, high level equations and all that. But
they don't know when a girl's interested in them.
Well, or
because I think that's the actual problem.
Well, like, if they're talking to a girl and it's going well, and the girl suddenly says something like, gee, I don't know, I didn't think the Matrix sequels were that bad, you know, to shut up and not go off on them. You know, that would be what geeks do.
That is wisdom.
A 10-minute tirade on how much Zion sucked. You know, just like, what are you doing? You're sabotaging your own. Couldn't you just shut up and maybe get laid? You know?
Well, there's that. And then also on top of that, some of them don't notice the social cues. Mm-hmm. That a girl's giving them to let them know that they want to bang it out.
Yeah.
Because they're so like interested in other things that they'll forget. They're unaware of, well, when that girl, if a girl touches you for the most part and then makes pretty serious eye contact, that's letting you know she's at least interested and you cannot fuck this up.
But you're right. Sometimes they don't know. Like the guy that I was going after that was getting his PhD from Caltech, who's this cute guy, but he was so involved in his own world that it took me a year for him to understand.
To drop hints.
That I wanted to actually sleep with him.
He's going, no.
Same thing happened with me and him, but, too. You know, it was weird. It was,
but no, really, he was like so...
Well, just, and also, let's hear from Rich, who admittedly is our sort of, I guess, middle of the road geek. He's our geek who does MMA fighting and is sure, plays shitloads of video games, but also is kind of like a regular dude. What's your whole take on the whole thing?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. First of all, there's city geeks and there's rest of the country geeks.
Okay.
And
flyover it's the same thing, geeks.
Flyover geeks. It's the same thing as an LA 7, right, is an Ohio 10.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with geeks. An LA geek or a New York geek probably has the social ability. They went there for a reason because they want to be around people.
Yeah.
It's the geek from Middleton, where I don't know where that is. I just think that's a place in the middle. It's that geek who basically...
It's next to Shelbyville.
Yeah.
Right.
It's that mild level of Asperger's that many geeks across the world appear to have.
Yeah.
Where it's just, I don't see, I'm talking at you and through you, and if you're not on my wavelength, I can't communicate properly.
I see plenty of that social, shortcomings in LA geeks.
Yeah, but it's the 10 to 7 scale. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a weird thing because we tend to equate intelligence with nerds, geeks, dorks, and all that stuff.
Mm.
And within intelligence comes observational skills, you would assume. I mean, I'm relatively good at figuring out when a girl likes me for the most part.
Well, but also there's that disrespect for the different types of intelligence. And I think geeks are guilty of it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? A mechanic is smarter than anybody in this room when it comes to fixing shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So you can know about Dagobah all you want. If you can't replace the coupling on your whatever the hell. See, I don't know.
Coupling.
If you know what I'm saying, if your engine's gonna blow up because X, Y, and Z, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, and see, you're one of those people who you can actually fix a car.
Yeah.
So cool, you point. Know the
coupling in a car is next to the dilithium crystal.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
We need more power converters.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some.
If your car's gonna blow up, just eject the what's that? The
core.
The core. Yeah, just eject the core.
Exactly.
Well, here's a question. I mean, geeks tend to be relatively shy people. You know, is a
introversion
trend. You know, it's usually they dive deep into their hobbies because of some sort of social shortcoming. I think relatively fair. You know, because they're spending more time at home doing stuff than going out and interacting with people.
Like how many video games have?
What about 2 years of game time that I probably played over the course of my life, and that's probably going short.
Yeah, and did you have a girlfriend at that time?
Oh, when I was in college, I had a girlfriend. I was pledge master of my fraternity on a sports team, had a job, had a 3.6 GPA. That's all that same year, while doing 10 hours of raid leading in World of Warcraft.
Was the girl into World of Warcraft?
No.
Did she hate you for playing World of Warcraft?
Who cares? What am I going to do? Hey, that's how you know relationship is over. Where you're like, you know what? I could get laid, or I could kill a fake dragon.
I have to say that was a problem in college. Like actually pulling the guys away from the video games to actually do that. That sometimes would happen where I'd say, no, really. I want to do this now, and then, oh wait, I got a couple more levels.
Well, it's hard to get a 40 man together. I mean, have you tried to down Gehenna any time in your life? It's difficult.
Well, dude, and that shows my lack of social skills because I'm not into that. Number one, magic is sucky. Number two, beyond magic sucking so hard.
You mean Magic the Gathering or really David Copperfield?
All of it.
He hates magic.
All of it. Sleight of hand to ripping the world apart with your spells.
How about Doctor Strange?
Either
he doesn't like Doctor Strange.
Sucks. He's so sucky.
So he doesn't like Satana, even though she has beautiful breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, she can talk to me backwards all she wants, but she still sucks. But the point is, beyond magic sucking, it was that whole interact with other douches. Like that's why I never got into first person shooters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want Klansman 585 on my team while we go raid some Iraqis. I just don't. I don't really care. I don't care to socialize on that level.
Well, to get back to what I was hinting at before is, you know, geeks tend to be shy, and there's a trend of shy people having higher standards
in terms
of what they're looking for because it makes them have to be courageous less often. Mm. If you're saying, oh, the women who are around me who might be interested in me simply aren't hot enough, don't look like Jean Grey, so therefore I'm not going to do anything about it, and they get to be the cowards that they want to be. Yeah. By rationalizing.
So unless a girl goes straight up to them and says some shit, they're not.
Which is what I always do.
Well, which is also pretty rare with geeks. I mean, if you're sitting there, man boobs McGee, and you're just waiting on super hot chicks to roll up to you and say they like you, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, I think also is that excuse is sort of gone by the wayside in that, you know, there's this weird trend of booth babes at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
The impact that they have had. And I think that there is something to, you know, there's a big term pre-selection in mate selection, in that if you were talking to a pretty girl, all the other girls who are in the area take note and place higher stock in you because you've been pre-selected.
Really?
Yeah, there's a big
I can't tell you how many times I've been talking to dudes about being the girls that I bang. I'm just more just talking about, like, I get laid. I don't know why I get laid, but I do. Oh, and then all of a sudden a girl talks to me immediately afterwards.
But yes, I totally believe that makes
it happens all the time.
It's just
like
magical energy.
I like how Tom was like, yes, no, I believe you.
No,
you
are probably correct. It's not going against pre-selection, but in that all of these booth babes were suddenly showing up at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that sort of coincided with the ascendancy of cosplaying with females. Like, anime really took over and really has been co-opted by girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be this, like, very rare was a girl, you know, at an anime convention, you know, in the 80s.
Was, but
You know, it was always like Macross and, you know, Go Nagai and Robotech and, you know.
Well, and also it's a nice way for girls to get to dress slutty and not be judged as slutty because the character wears that costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like and my Morgan from Darkstalkers costume.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's true.
But, well, I mean, Halloween and anime has given more undercover hoes license.
But I think, like,
booth babes, 82 other things in the world.
Sure, you know, booth babes made actual non-babes who were paid to be at the convention say, "Hey, wait a minute, am I supposed to be at Comic-Con too? There's all these other hot women there."
Yeah.
And then I think there's lots of hot women showing up at Comic-Con, just, you know, off of that trend. And, you know, the rise of cosplay has also brought all of these beautiful women to conventions now.
Yeah.
So even the...
Well, and then one of the arguments people have been having about cosplay is they're saying, like, these people are dressing up by just looking at a picture of, like, looking on the internet, finding a picture of some of those things, and they've never watched one episode. They don't...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's, for me, it's a conundrum because obviously I love hot chicks dressed in hot shit, but at the same time, I like respect for the things that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's something that maybe we should do at Kamikaze. Tell me what you think of this idea.
Okay.
We get a bunch of beads, like they give away at New Orleans, you know, for Mardi Gras.
Oh my God, this is genius.
And we go up to female cosplayers and we ask them trivia questions about the character that they're dressing up as.
Oh my God, we got to film this.
And if they get the question right, we give them the beads. If they get the question wrong, I don't know, they got to get, you know.
They have to show us their boobs, of course.
That's how
their titties.
That's how America does it.
That's what I'm
going to
ask.
America does it. It's worked out pretty well so far.
So if
that's genius.
If that's not a plug for Kamikaze, I don't know what is.
Exactly. Just come and we're going to give beads out to chicks and talk to them. It's going to be great. Also,
do you get more beads if you have three breasts?
Definitely.
So anyone dressing up as Power Girl for Kamikaze, don't study up.
Yeah, don't study up at all. Also, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
I couldn't tell you.
Because it was something about, I want you, can you do a fail, please? Thank
you. You saw me priming it. You deserved that.
I deserved that one. Yeah, I got distracted by Power Girl's boobs.
You know, I think to answer the, you know, I got to your question in my head properly.
Yeah.
And I think the difference between the different types of nerds is there are, as Tom was talking about, the filling my social gap so I turn inward on my hobbies nerd. Mm-hmm. And then there are the guys like me, I'm an addict nerd, where I get that first hit of something. Like when Ed first introduced me to the modern incarnation of paperback trades.
Yeah.
That suddenly just, I'm at the store every single week, buying. Yeah. Now I can't stop reading Batman because he got me in.
Yeah,
but I'll go,
money,
I'll overdose, and then I'll have to detox for a while, and then on to the next thing.
I would be sadder because if I had a lot of money, I'd be subscribing to Wednesday series all the time. That's all I would do. I'd have tons of, and then I would have like no room in my house, just covered in.
Be on Hoarders.
Bored and backed.
Well, dude, that was another thing I was going to say while Tom was talking about geeks coming from some deep sense of social, this sucks-ness, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they should trace it back like Hoarders. You know, on every episode of Hoarders, they go, well, he collects rats because his wife left him in 1972. And they just tell this whole backstory. I think
and it
all
was
geeks,
for a rat.
Yeah. I think all geeks should examine what happened. Where was the schism? The schism.
Interesting sort of historical, evolution of a geek in their life is like if you go back to like third grade, fifth grade or something like that, all the boys like the same stuff. You know, I remember everyone was watching Star Blazers and Speed Racer, or, you know, Power Rangers, you know, for later generations. And then like the most sort of desirable boys start getting interest from girls. And the other boys start to notice that and they want attention from girls as well. And that's when they betray their hobbies. Betray their genuine interest.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like,
I think Tom's getting clipped.
Look, you know, like Star Blazers didn't stop suddenly being cool.
No,
you know what I
not
mean?
At all.
You just started pretending that it was no longer cool because Missy, you know, might like you or might go to the dance with you.
Yeah.
And that's very frustrating, you know, and I really...
Well, anytime you don't stay true to what you actually enjoy, it's frustrating and annoying. Oh, by the way, Klee put a comment for us. Klee's on our show from time to time.
Yeah, Klee
says...
And
she's going to be on the show tomorrow night.
And Ed Greer. Oh. They're dating.
Oh, good story.
No, hold on. There's a comment. It's good.
Klee says, I agree with the chick nerd whose name I have yet to catch. It's Dawn Goodson, by the way. That's my name. Ed and I met because I forced myself on him at Baron Vaughn's CD release party. Ask him. Just ask him.
Yes. You make Hulk angry. You not like Hulk angry.
Hints being dropped and not taken.
That was my impression of Klee forcing herself on Ed.
Now, I just know that when I was in third and fourth grade, I was obsessed with Star Trek The Next Generation, and I wanted to play Star Trek on the playground. I moved schools from second to third grade, and at both schools, the kids were not having that.
Boys
Nobody.
Or girls.
Boys or girls. None of them. None of them. They would just thought I was a complete weirdo.
What were they into? What were the geeks, you know?
There were none. That was the sad thing. Well, I was the only one. Everybody else was into sports, I guess, because they were brought up that way.
Well, and actually, let me say this, and this actually equates to nerds as well as sports. When I was in cross country, I used to run the mile, and I could run the mile pretty quickly. And in mid school, I was the fastest kid in my school. And then I got to high school, and I was no longer the fastest kid in school. Because you just multiplies. When you're very young, you're only going to have two or three geeks on the entire playground. You have to get a mass number of people. But that's what's so interesting right now is now we have this explosion of people who feel like they're all nerds. Mm-hmm. Talk to anybody. Almost everybody in the world right now is like, yeah, I'm a nerd, unless they're like, you know.
But also there's this trend of like calling backlash against calling nerd posers out.
Yeah.
Like there's all of these articles like, hey, just because we haven't lived and breathed this, you know, your whole life doesn't mean that we're less genuine than you are. And it like, yes,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's like you don't get to call yourself a black belt in a dojo without passing the black belt.
Yeah,
exam.
But there are blue belts and there are purple belts.
And
there's
you
multiple
them.
Belts. That's the whole point.
Yes, but geek means black belt. You know, it's not, you can call yourself an enthusiast. A journeyman fan?
I'm a journeyman nerd.
I go with the Hitler rule. If you have 1/8 geek, then now we put you on the geek train.
In the geek showers. That's awful.
That's terrible.
You took it. See, I kept it in transportation, and then you went deeper over the end.
Well, we know where that transportation was ending.
I know,
that's
right?
True.
This just on time. This isn't on a monorail.
It wasn't to Disneyland, I'll tell you that much.
No, but I mean, I agree to a certain extent. I mean, I just became somewhat of a Star Trek geek, but it was really interesting how it happened because number one, Klee got me involved in it,
yeah.
And she didn't throw herself on me. There was a bunch of douchebag broads. Like people don't believe that chicks can be assholes. Yeah, they can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they can. They do it all the time. They're really awesome at it. And these two or three chicks were just fawning over Baron Vaughn because he just released his CD party. I mean, his CD thing, and it was a party for him. So they were all on his dick for, like, no reason. And then she was there being cool, being his actual friend. You know what I mean? And I noticed that. I noticed her being genuine. So I started talking to her, and lo and behold, you know, she got big, crazy boobs. You know what I mean? Like,
what are you going to do?
And things just worked out. But it was, like, her genuineness. You know what I'm saying? And I think that would have come through at a comic book convention.
Genuine, nice boobs.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that added to it, for sure. But it's a big deal to find someone who's into what you're into. And into it is deep. However, I will tell you, I don't know artists, and we've talked about this before, I don't know artists, I don't know most of the writers, well, except for big ones.
But you're not a geek.
I think
that comes into it, because people will assail you for not knowing that Frank Miller drew this, and then Frank Miller started getting crappy around 2002, maybe, yeah. At drawing. He's just started sucking at drawing all of a sudden. And it was just people, you won't know that, but you really do like the storylines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like Star Trek, I like Voyager the best. That's blasphemy to other Star Trek people, but I have this outside perspective. I don't revere Kirk. He's a stupid ass over actor with a gut. Fuck that guy. I don't care. I don't care about him. I think Spock is cool. And I think all the other Vulcans are cool because they're all doing a Spock impression. So I'm on the out. You know what I mean? I'm
yeah,
coming
but
outside.
Is good. I actually yeah.
Sarek is
on...
very offended by that.
But just you know, just the Black Vulcan was super cool, and the fact that chick captain really got her hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Picard is over there sipping some Earl Grey and shit. She's repairing, you know, the lithium crystals with her bare hands, burning her hands
Picard
off.
Picard is beating people with his mind.
I think T'Pol is like distractingly hot.
Yeah,
like, you did not need a Vulcan to be that hot. That was like not necessary.
No, I'm cool with that.
So I just think to finish my point, when people come at it later, they don't get all the dogma. Like when Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings sucks because I didn't read it when I was five.
I didn't read it.
It didn't get over on me when I was five.
Yeah, I read it when I was like eight.
So I'm not going to be 45 fucking years old defending something that got over on me when I was five. I can evaluate it and now with my now mind, which is a term I coined. Ding, trademark, now mind. It means when you look at something now with who you are now and all of what you are instead of your childish, you know, initial fascination.
Because I still read. I'll reread Lord of the Rings usually once or twice a year. And
all three books?
Yeah.
Wow.
I read three books at a time. That's what my real nerd is. I read fantasy books at a breakneck pace.
You said it right the first time.
Wait, what was that? Yeah.
That's two today. I am fucking up.
Is that your third?
It is my third,
actually. We have another comment, which I actually think is interesting. Joe has asked us, do you consider fish fans geeks?
Joe who?
That's Joe Welker.
Yeah.
Joe, no, we think of them as assholes.
No.
Doesn't Fish have a song about Riker's mailbox, don't they?
I think they do, yeah.
He took me to a Fish concert in Long Beach.
And how was it?
It was the whitest thing I've ever done in my life. This guy next to us was all hopped up on whoever knows what hallucinogens. And someone started fighting and I'm going, it's a fight at a Fish concert? And it turned out because this dude was just pissing in the middle of the concert. And then security had to come out. And then they just dance in the piss, all the hippies.
That's so hilarious. That's hilarious. I don't know if I would call them geeks, but it's arguable because that comes down to the definition. You know, we were talking about this earlier in the subway, just saying like, you know, it'd be interesting to have sports geeks, fantasy nerds on here, apparently Ed here is like, knows a shitload about basketball, for instance, and Rafi, tons about soccer. And do they count as nerds? Because especially if you're not playing that sport.
No, they don't.
And that's what I think as well, because I feel like it's counterculture
stuff. It's got to be part of a fanboy aesthetic.
That's how I feel too.
Or fangirl. You know, I'm not going to.
Fanboy culture for sports too. I mean, look at Rafi's shirt right now. Rafi is imitating his favorite character
from sports.
That's
a sports enthusiast. It's not
I agree that they're not, they don't have that, subcultural cross to bear, as it were. Yeah. I do agree with that assessment. However,
because nobody hates football fans.
But yeah, the modern Laker fan, I get upset because I'm like, okay, what they need to do is run the pick and roll with Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard and do that a lot of times because it's unstoppable, because blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, Kobe's cool, bro. I'm like, well, fuck you. You don't even know about the sport. Who, Raul Garcia has a joke about the Raiders. He's like, who's the quarterback of the Raiders? Fucking Skeletor. These people don't fucking know about the sport. Thusly, they cannot even participate on the level that I can. I am geekily looking at all the stats, who the people are, and that obsessive component of stats keeping, who can beat who, who's faster than
you,
who.
You get to look down at lesser sports fans with that added knowledge, but that does not make you a geek.
Now, Tom, here's a question. If this were a fake sport and he knew all this about it, would that be geekdom? No. If it were an invented sport and this was all in a universe.
If I knew all the stats on Quidditch.
Yeah, no, no. Well, see? No, you'd have to know everything else. You'd have to know everything else about
the Harry Potter world.
If you did, like, that's just like part of the job.
Like all the Hollywood harpies starting to line up.
At Kamikaze, they're going to actually somehow... are supposed to. Whimsic Alley is a place that you can buy all kinds of Harry Potter stuff at. It's pretty much the best Harry Potter store on the planet. And they're going to have a actual...
game of Quidditch?
Quidditch. But I'm like,
that's
how
stupid.
It's so stupid.
Quidditch is the dumbest game ever. Like, the most popular thing I've ever written was called Quidditch Sucks and explaining, like, a long blog post.
When I read Harry Potter, I skipped... all the Quidditch parts of the book.
The action is great. The sport is poorly constructed. It's a poorly designed sport.
And it's insultingly so to real sports fans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like J.K. Rowling saying, hey, you know, I'll just make it seem like a sport and that's good enough. And she's like a soccer mom who doesn't even understand soccer.
Headshot.
Tom killed her.
You killed the most famous author of all time.
I'm not on board. I'm not down with Harry Potter.
Oh. Not in general Harry Potter. All right, you know, we'll come back to Harry Potter first. Let's take a minute to give you some information on the other shows here at Skid Row Studios. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to SkidRowStudios.com. This is Keith Coogan. Tune in to The Call Sheet Saturday nights, 8 to 9 p.m., and I promise to sound like I'm always on Quaaludes. You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
You please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
Oh, shit. Okay, I gotta save the Pacific.
Ah, fuck, I hate my voice. Fuck! Hate it. Jesus Christ, I hate this shit. Oh, man. Do you guys like talking to me and hearing my voice? Because I would fucking hate it.
Stop right.
Let's try it again. That's not Brian, right? Yeah. Let me try it again. Ah, please listen Pacific time. Hi, this is Vince. Listen. Ah, fuck. Everybody's looking at me and shit. You guys are probably noticing how fat I am right now. You're like, man, how sweaty I am. Hi, this is, you're listening to the wrap-up show with Gary Jabate and John Hine on Howard 101. Hey, this is Vince. Listen to the More Music Radio Pod every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time on SkidRowStudios.com. Fuck your mama. Hey, everybody, this is Drew Marks, host of Bad Advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.
All right, and now I have to give myself another fail. For 2 weeks in a row where I mess up the commercial break.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
We're going to get the hang of it.
One of these days I'll get it right.
You cool. Run to Dagobah.
Hey, I'm just happy that people are listening enough that we can actually have a commercial break.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
I mean, enough. Honestly. One of the topics I also want to hit on, because we do talk about a lot of this nerd stuff and comic books. We've been talking a lot about comic books. I want to talk about video games a little bit. Sure. I want to go to favorite fighting games. You guys got any favorites?
Darkstalkers.
Wow.
Yeah, Darkstalkers.
Unique choice. What do you like, the weapons? What's up?
I really like the characters. I had the graphic novels first, and they're hot, and they're weird creatures.
Yeah.
And there's just this awesome, fun Japanese thing going on that...
And it looks like there could be porn at any moment.
Yeah. And there it is.
I
mean, in the graphic novels,
porn.
I mean, really, it's hentai.
Hentai,
you know,
yeah.
It is. I mean.
That and Soul Calibur both have that.
Soul Calibur. I actually really love Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur is my vote.
Mine
Soul
is,
Calibur is tight.
The original Ninja Gaiden.
That's a great choice, too.
A very unique controller. The button to flip the guys on the top. And
yeah.
I've never seen that elsewhere. And a very difficult game, beating that last boss. With a whole bunch of my friends in college is one of my best video game moments.
Well, does that count as a fighting game though? Because I think we meant kind of the whole
person versus. I think it still kind of counts.
I would count Street Fighter, even though.
Yeah, but that's.
Or Double Dragon, I would count.
I wouldn't call that as a fighting game. That's an action adventure game. That's an adventure fighting game. Like then by that definition,
although
then Diablo 2 counts.
Yeah.
Bad Dudes doesn't count. I mean.
I remember
when Bad Dudes, hold on, Bad Dudes anecdote. I was watching this old man. He was old man, meaning like he was probably 30 at the time because I was a little baby kid. And he was playing Bad Dudes. He's playing the hell out of Bad Dudes, but he's getting fucked up on some of the parts that need more dudes. So I put my quarter in and I was like, yeah, boy, let's do it, baby. And I was good at Bad Dudes. And he goes, I don't want to play with you, bro. And he like boxes me out, and then he
and did
presses,
you say listen to reason, man?
No, dude, I don't know if I was that developed. But then he boxes me out away from the machine, and I'd already put my quarter in. And when he died, he pushed the button and took my fucking quarter.
What?
Bad Dude's one of the best prologues ever.
That guy, you know what that guy is? A bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
Just living up to the name.
My favorite game was probably Tekken.
Nice.
I really liked because I'm not great. At fighting games, and Tekken's one of the only button mashing games where you can just push a lot of buttons and end up okay. Like especially if you play like the breakdancing dude. I can't remember the guy's
Eddie
name.
Gordo.
Yeah, yeah. then you can win with that guy just by pushing buttons.
I can wreck you in Tekken if that's what you do.
Yeah.
Tekken Tag Tournament, killer. From a geek perspective,
yeah.
Tekken Tag Tournament is my favorite. The whole Tekken series, but Tekken Tag in particular, my favorite because of the depth of learning the stances with Lei Wulong, for example.
Yeah.
Getting your pairing right. If you ever played, here's what I think counts as a fighting game. If you went to a bowling alley in the 90s, and a group of Korean dudes with crazy hair were cordoning off that game and allowing you to challenge their champion. That counts as a fighting game. So Street Fighters, Tekken, Soul mm-hmm. Calibers, any of that one-on-one, let's test off our jacket.
I have a similar
stuff.
Experience with Ninja Gaiden. So we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I don't agree with the disagreement. My favorite fighting game, like in terms of the fighting experience, is the UFC 3. The last UFC game they put out.
Okay.
But that's for a whole different thing. That's because the actual fighting in that feels like a real fight. It's a visceral experience
yeah.
when you knock someone out.
I like the Marvel versus Capcom because obviously I like to play anything where I get to be Wolverine.
Well, but here's my question about Marvel versus Capcom. With the gross of the Avengers movie this summer.
Yeah.
Okay. In the universe of Marvel versus Capcom, when a Capcom character beats a Marvel character, how empty does that victory feel for them?
Well, dude, I am too geeky to play those games because every single time I see Iron Man about to fight Captain America, I go, this is bullshit. Somebody would get incinerated from outer space. So I cannot watch that be a fight. A dude with a shield versus, or the Hulk coming in to fight anyone. It's like, dude, it's over. I'm too geeky to appreciate
Sentinel,
those games.
The Sentinel in the first Marvel versus Capcom was just a beautifully rendered video game character.
Yeah.
I love playing the Sentinel.
What about consoles? Which favorite consoles? I mean, I liked GameCube and Dreamcast, actually.
GameCube had the best Hulk game ever. The Hulk game on GameCube was amazing.
Odyssey 2.
Wow.
Was that Munchkin?
Yeah.
Was that like some Neo Geo shit? Like,
that was pre Neo Geo. That was a competitor against the Atari 2600, and it had a keyboard and was like considered a computer. It was the biggest joke of a video game system.
The sad part is for me, it has to be. This is how lame I am, by the way, because I'm not good on the video games. I liked Suikoden, which was this RPG game. So I have to go PlayStation 2 because I liked Suikoden.
PlayStation is the RPG's haven besides computers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. The whole Final Fantasy series is a PlayStation-based series.
And I like Final Fantasy 2. As far as like skill goes, I have to go Atari because it was the only time I was ever good at video games was when it was Atari. Because I suck at video games. I love them.
People who grew up in the early 80s, who played video games, the first time that they flipped the score in Asteroids was a big moment in their life.
Yep.
Well, I watched that documentary Chasing Ghost.
Uh-huh.
That is like kind of a companion piece to King of Kong.
Yeah.
Both of those are about early 80s gaming and how you put one quarter in and you got as far as you could get. You got as many extra minutes as you could get. And when you died, it was over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that high score
meant
that you got to the zenith of what you could do, apex of human achievement, as it were.
Video games were hard.
Right. And then now when you just put quarters in, it takes away the whole enterprise, which is why arcades died. That, as well as home consoles. I mean, we're all sedentary.
It was more home. I mean, the idea of being able to continue is a great idea for
money.
To make money. Because, you got a kid who can play Q-Bert for, 2 hours.
Right.
You've made 25 cents.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that because on my phone, there's games that, you can play whatever weird games you can play. All the games that I can beat, I don't like playing. The games that are hard, I like playing. Like, I don't want to play a game that's super easy to just destroy. I want to play a game that's
hard. The thing about fighting games, though. That's the reason why we're talking about them. Is to me, fighting games are a lot more special than any of these games where it's like, yeah, I fought this boss and I did this. Dude, fighting games, you can keep turning up the levels. You can fight you can fight all sorts of different types of tournaments. You can
fight
different
dudes.
And
you can fight people, which are fluid.
And yeah, there's always someone better.
Yeah.
Always.
Dude, this dude used to wreck me. Rich, that is, for those who can't see me pointing with my pencil. Rich used to wreck me on the UFC fighting game and multiple other games too, just wreck me. And I would always get satisfaction in hearing his frustration when I would call him and he would be playing some douchebag, some Korean 3-year-old somewhere, destroying him, you know, online. I was just like, yes, fuck you. You're not good. He's good. Wang Chang is good. He's destroying you.
Being skilled at the games from the 80s is more meaningful than being good at the games now because they're so much harder. I was not a great defender player, but the defender players who I saw who were masters.
That was a hard ass game.
Here's where I'll differ, though.
You would play until your knuckles bled. The controllers were so, like, not ergonomically designed.
Get blisters on your fingers.
Those games were muscle memory games. That's the big thing that's where I disagree with you on those ones, is because those defenders or whatever asteroids, everyone put it in, all those were learning the pattern and muscle memory games where you just got your rhythm down.
No way. Not defender. You know, defender, like, it was always, you have to rely on your wits and playing the landscape that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Did you guys ever play?
It's not like, equating, you know, defender to like some ninth key pattern is not fair.
Okay.
Did you guys ever play Myst?
Myst and Riven? They have Myst and Riven out on the iPhone now.
Yeah. I can't do that.
But they don't have them optimized for the iPad, which is super annoying.
That's like crack. I can't do those.
I'm gonna reveal my non-knowing.
It's a magical RPG. You'd fucking hate it.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Okay, here's what Myst is. Pretend that you are the only person who landed on the island and lost, and you by yourself have to figure out what the hell happened and lost.
That's a good pitch.
I would almost like that.
It looked amazing too. Yeah. For back in the day, I mean, when that game came out, I mean, just. It was like you were there. It was the first time.
Graphics back
in
the day, yeah. It really was.
It was
incredible. Watching like old Intellivision commercials where George Plimpton is just boasting about how amazing the graphics are. Yeah. It's just like the cockiness that he has for these literal 2-bit games.
Literal.
We have a new comment.
A new comment from Alan. Tekken is the most cool intuitive fighter game ever. Also, Front Mission is a geek favorite RPG that was not mentioned.
Ooh. I'll go with cool. I won't go with intuitive. And here's why. I don't take any fighting game where your big moves are based off of memorizing certain patterns of joystick and button combinations.
Combo moves.
That's where traditional fighting games and I disagree. And that's where I think the UFC game is great. Right. I think about intuition. If you want to throw a jab, it's triangle. You want to throw a punch that's leaning forward with the right hand, you press forward in right hand. You want to throw a get away from me kind of quick punch, it's away in that same button. No matter what you're trying to do with that hand, it's all based on that same button and then how you would normally move as a person. It's way more intuitive than...
I would totally agree with that assessment. I mean, probably the only really intuitive fighting game that I ran into of those old school types, I got to say, Soul Calibur had a really nice intuitive thing to it because vertical attacks are this, horizontal attacks are that. If you move semicircle down, you're going to do a sweeping horizontal thing at somebody's leg. And, you know, semicircle up, sweeping, you know, with the verticals, you know, a vertical attack. You know what I mean? That comes slicing up through their body. These things were intuitive.
And Soul Calibur was actually probably the only fighting game I was decent at.
Yeah, I mean, because you didn't have to memorize anything. Everything was based upon...
And then four buttons in a row with a left trigger.
Right. If you chose to learn those other things, you could get Tekken on it. You could get nuts. But I learned the basics, and I was whooping people's ass who knew all that stuff because I was doing it intuitively. I was, to use the force. You know, I was on that tip, and they were all like, beep, boop, bop, boop, you know.
Nice. Anyone looking forward to, speaking of old video games and new video games, Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
Font of the arcade in that, that you know, the story is set in, I'm convinced is based on the font of the arcade in my hometown. Fun and Games, very specific font. It was a giant arcade.
What's your hometown?
Framingham, Massachusetts. And it was huge.
Framingham.
And very specific font. And they had a Hercules pinball machine there, which was like the biggest pinball machine in the world. And Wreck-It Ralph, I'm looking forward to. I hope it's good. And
definitely.
Yeah. I think it'll be good.
I like the idea of a bad guy getting bored being the bad guy.
Yeah.
And being like, I got to go be a good guy.
It looks like it's based on a little bit of Crazy Climber, if I had to pick something.
Yeah. Before. Like, it's a mix of Donkey Kong and Crazy Climber, right?
Hmm. Anyone here read Ready Player One?
Yes.
You read it?
And it's the guy wrote Fanboys, the movie. about the kids traveling to, and he got famous for writing a spec script for the sequel to Buckaroo Banzai. At the end of Buckaroo Banzai, they say, like, against the World Crime League, and he, like, wrote that script and, like, got known for it.
Which actually brings me to something I would like to add in.
Yeah, okay. You can. I want to do that now.
Once a month, I'm going to have Tom Frank on the show, and we're going to play a Stump Tom Frank. I don't know what your prize will be. We'll come up with something. We'll make some Angry Dork shirts or something like that.
Yeah, Tom Frank is the Ivan Drago of trivia. Yeah. He's just punching shit at 500,000 pounds per square inch, just popping up on the readout.
Exactly. If you can stump Tom Frank in, we'll go comic books. Go comic books.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go. If you can stump Tom Frank in comic books, or what's your collection?
My toys, Japanese toys.
No, the heavyweight champ would be to try to stump him at Japanese.
Well, like, that's Japanese what it would be. If you can stump him, if you can stump Tom Frank at Japanese toys.
I have a contestant for him.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. We'll do that once a month.
I'm going to plug. I was recently an expert on a new show on Sci-Fi called Collection Intervention.
Nice.
Which sometimes should be.
It's on Tuesday nights, and they hired me to be to appraise a collection. And, you know, comment on the rare, you know, Japanese toy robots.
Did the guy have anything rare?
Yes, he did. He had, like props and artwork that were very interesting. He had, like, part of the Giger Bar in Tokyo, which was dismantled. It's, like, part of the Berlin Wall. You know, a lot of the alien ornaments that were on the wall, he had some of those.
Wow.
And he's a great guy, Scott Zellner. He runs the Power Morphicon and runs the Robo Toy Fest, both in Pasadena.
Nice,
Robo
dude.
Toy Fest is in December, so give him a little plug.
Yeah, so we'll have Stump Tom Frank. And you know what actually will happen is if you can't stump Tom Frank, Rich Slayton will make fun of you.
I do that.
So you will, there'll also be a consequence for failure.
Oh, and I also think we should do another contest, like a Make Ed Greer Like Magic.
Yeah.
That would be great. Make Ed Greer find any sort of fantasy thing interesting or magic thing interesting. Or find something that I do.
This is getting old, Ed. Talk to the Bigby's interposing hand.
Here's a game that hasn't been mentioned. Darkseid for the PC.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know that one.
It's a great game.
I never played that one.
It was amazing.
Well, we only have 3.5 minutes left, so a very important question for everybody. What Marvel superhero under 100 kilo, or was it 100 ton rating, has the biggest dick? It's the end of the day, it's dick time.
Biggest dick. Well, obviously,
I'm thinking about boobs.
What, you said under 100
ton. What Marvel under 100 ton rated?
Well, here's,
what are you thinking? How does this get to boobs? I'm curious.
I don't know. I just,
she likes boobs.
I'm turning it around. I'm not really thinking about
it.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Okay, I don't think
big boobs are like, if we do that, well, obviously, it's She-Hulk. I think.
She-Hulk has the biggest, but she's over 110 rated, isn't she?
No. She can live 85 tons under optimal conditions.
There's an LA artist who's wonderful named Tess Fowler, and she has a tutorial on YouTube that anyone who draws comic book boobs should watch.
How to
draw boobs.
By the way,
she's incredible.
It's Reed Richards
out.
Who has the biggest dick.
Tess Fowler
can
make a stretch.
Because he can stretch it to any size he wants.
Yeah. No, yeah, Reed Richards is killing
Reed Richards.
It. He's killing the game, and he's killing the big dick.
See, he can move his dick around and actually hit a G-spot.
I was going to say Magneto, but it's because I think he has that old, like, Jewish guy in a shower dick. Like, that one that's just, it's not big, it's just swollen because he's old and Jewish.
Awesome. And I apologize to Tim Babb for not getting to the age-old question, who would win in a fight, Superman or Batman?
We'll tease that for the next show, because I got a lot of thoughts on that. They're multi-layered.
Well,
so
and because
we need
Tim Babb was talking about how pissed off how much it annoys him that people are always like, Superman's the most powerful character. It's a bunch of bullshit. He's lame. But every single time, if you ask someone who will win in a fight, Superman or Batman, they always say Batman, even though everybody's pissed off at how powerful Superman is. So we'll talk about that on the next show.
No one wants to take Superman's side.
Yeah.
That is a big deal right there.
Even though, obviously, if he wanted to kill
he's a Republican.
Batman, he would just blow him up with his fucking eye vision. But that's where the argument comes in. Would Batman expect it? Would he know ahead of time because he's Batman? That's where the argument comes in. So let's do our last, what are you doing in the next couple of weeks promotion thingamabobber.
Ed, where are you at this coming up?
Where are you tomorrow night at 7:30, Ed?
Tomorrow I'm doing Comics and Comics at the Improv Lab with my main man, Tom Frank. And then...
And your other main man?
Ron Swallow.
Yeah, and my main girl, Clee. Yes.
And Asterios.
And Joe Starr. And basically then I'm going to later in the week, you know, on the 14th, I'm going to do another show at the Hypno Comics. And then on the 15th, I'm doing Kamikaze. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing actually another show at Kamikaze too, like a panel show. But like,
nice.
You'll check the
And should we do that thing with the female cosplayers and beads?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Let's do that. And then I'm same thing, although September 6th, I'm also at Flappers. But September 4th, and that's the more important show to me, but show up to everything, comics.
I'm doing another show after the Comics and Comics show, which is at 7:30 at Michael's at Burbank.
You know, cool.
Oh, nice. Show.
That's tomorrow, Michael's. Right?
Yeah, that's tomorrow night.
So come to that tomorrow.
Plug that as well.
I'm taking the week off after the Zimmerman Bar Mitzvah. So. Nice. And I won't be here the next few weeks, so if you want your dick joke fix.
Where are they going to go? There's no dick jokes anywhere.
Yeah, you can come up with it. Thank you. Listen to Angry Bart.
Hello, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson inviting you to listen to the Courtroom Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.
You're listening to SkidRowStudios.com. This is Keith Coogan. Tune in to The Call Sheet Saturday nights, 8 to 9 p.m., and I promise to sound like I'm always on call.